First of all, David begins writing in Psalm 133, the first word, and he gets our attention. He says, "Behold." Most often, we hear this word used just like we sang it, in beholding our God, beholding Jesus Christ. But here he is saying, "Behold," in a way that says, "Wow, look at a group of people who are dwelling in unity." Amen. When you behold your God, you see that there's nothing like him. You see his glory. You see his unusual uniqueness that is far above any of us could ever imagine. It's not something you see every day. Neither is people dwelling together in unity.
That's right.
It's very, very unusual. But he says here, "Behold this people." So he's looking at a group of people there before him dwelling in unity. He says, "Wow, look at this group of people. They actually love one another. And they're actually serving together, and they are in unity." I can tell you that living in unity is not natural. We just came back yesterday from our vacation with 9 adults and 8 grandchildren, 7 and under. I can tell you with certainty that living in unity is not natural. We did have a wonderful time, though. Biblical unity begins as a gift from the Lord. He sought us out. He reconciled us, 2 Corinthians 5. He pursued that unity with us. And it's precious because it reflects the heart of God. But it's also fragile because all of us have remnants of the pride and the selfishness and the contentiousness and the misunderstandings in our heart. But the unity of the church is not maintained because disagreements never arise. It's maintained because God's grace is stronger than those differences.
Amen. That's right.
David now moves on to verse 2. He says, he gives us an illustration that's a little unusual for us. He said, "It's like the unity is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard." The anointing here is the anointing of oil represented in the Old Testament when God set apart someone for himself. And David here is careful to describe what happens to that oil once it's poured over the head. It begins up here, and then it flows down and reaches the rest of the body. God always works that way. His grace overflows through people,
right,
touching other people. And the church will flourish when every single gift that's given to you as church members and to you as pastor, Brother Joel, his church is going to flourish when that gift is used, not for selfish purposes, but for others. Then he gives another illustration in verse 3. It goes from the oil to the dew of Hermon. The dew of Hermon is as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Unlike the oil, the dew happens when nobody's looking. The dew falls at night, slowly, almost imperceptibly. Yet by morning, you look out and you see the results of that dew. It refreshes everything. Trees are strengthened. Plants are nourished, and the fields are refreshed. Life has been sustained. As a pastor, that should be greatly encouraging.
That's right.
Because we often expect God to work dramatically and quickly. Sometimes he does. Most of the time, he doesn't. He works like the dew, one sermon after another, day after day, week after week. Simple conversations. One prayer, a silent prayer, one act of forgiveness,
yeah,
a word of encouragement, week after week after week. Then years later, I'm sorry, I wish it was months, but years later is when you can begin to see that growth that has happened through faithfulness. And it's ordinary. It's not unusual. It's just ordinary day after day. And that's how healthy churches grow,
right,
as we just heard from Dr. Grosher.
Amen.
Not through constant excitement or from one huge event to another, but ordinary service in God's steady grace. Amen. Verse 4, he says, "There the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." So what we see from this first psalm is that God blesses unity among the people. That naturally leads us to Psalm 134. Here we see the effect of unity. They're worshiping. Verse 1 says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord." Every single week when you gather together here, it's a reminder that the church gathers first, not for itself, but for God, to worship Him. So in these two songs, we see that unity is the central theme. But notice something interesting. David is not merely praising unity for itself because it makes Foster Creek Baptist Church function better. He is celebrating unity because it's the atmosphere by which God's blessing is experienced. Unity is not the blessing itself. It is the environment where you here at this church can enjoy His presence, His favor, and the life, the spiritual life that He gives. So as you look ahead, your confidence is not going to be in a new pastor, as thankful as we are for him.
Yeah.
Your confidence is not going to be in plans, though you should make them. Confidence should not be in resources, though many times God does bless you with many resources. The confidence is in the Lord.
Amen.
Who still gathers His people. He nourishes through His word and delights in the unity purchased by His Son on the cross. He still ordains, He commands His blessing upon those who come to worship Him. So today we pray that Pastor Joel and his family will experience the joy of leading this church. May Foster Creek also increasingly reflect the unity that was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ and that David saw among his people many, many years ago. May us all remember that the greatest blessing of every church is not merely that you gather together, but that by His grace, you come every week to meet with the living God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.